Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Denise O'Donoghue, good afternoon to you in the Cork studio.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And Denise, you write the Life Hacks column in the Irish Examiner. You call yourself the Hacks Hack. Very good. So you've been doing the column for about 3 years. So today we're going to talk about some of your most read life hacks. And you say, I'm surprised at this, your number one topic, hands down, is?
Mold. Very glamorous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's the humid country or maybe we have very thin windows, but people, anytime I write about mould, they're all about it. They need to read it all.
Okay, and I presume the trick in mould is we probably should open the window more often, but then we, being Irish, we don't want to be letting the heat out either.
I know, yeah, we love the value. Definitely the kind of old wives' tale of opening the windows, letting in the cold air first thing in the morning. There's truth to it. It's what we should be doing, letting it in, getting the condensation off the windows. But obviously, a lot of us don't want to do that first thing in the cold winters, shivering away first thing in the morning. But that's the best way to do it. It's all about the airflow.
Okay. Any other mold hack?
Wiping down the windows. So if you have a bit of kitchen roll, maybe keep it to the side, whether it's your bedroom, your bathroom, wiping it down first thing, because it can get quite a build up and you really don't want that happening, because you know, it's going to impact maybe the seals around your windows. It can lead to mould, obviously. And then if you have wooden windowsills or wooden windows, it can eat into that as well. And it'll be a much costlier problem in the future if you're not just giving it the quick wipe down.
Okay, so preventative medicine. All right.
Yeah.
Your second most read life hack is probably more traditionally Irish, also airflow related. Drying clothes indoors. Give me some hacks.
Yeah, again, between the weather and then a lot of us not having the outdoor space, we're bringing the clothes horses out and, you know, I think it generates something like 5 litres of water. It can do if you're drying your clothes indoors.
So, wow, okay.
Yeah, you don't really want too much of that in the air. You know, if you have breathing issues or anything like that, it can very much exacerbate it on top of the potential mould issues. So one of the ones that actually kind of went viral online, and I've given it a go myself, and it does the trick for me. If you have your clothes horse and just put a big bed sheet over the top of it, tuck it into the rad. If you have a dehumidifier, maybe get that in there as well, and it seems to dry it about half as fast as what you'd usually expect. So that one definitely worth giving it a go. And I find maybe as well when you're washing, just putting on a slightly higher spin, knock a bit of the water out of it as well, maybe for the last run of your washing machine, that very much helps cut down your drying time as well.
And you also have a very simple, surprising trick for keeping clothes from coming out of the tumble dryer wrinkled.
Yeah, pop in a few of the clothes, leave maybe a little bit of space, and then 2 or 3 ice cubes. It works. I don't know what the magic is. It lets off a lot of steam, which, to be fair, is the magic. But I think popping in ice cubes, you don't expect quite that impact from it. But it releases a good bit of steam that'll iron out a lot of the wrinkles before you take them out. And you pretty much have something ready to wear, which is great. Saves on the ironing, saves on the time.
And it's absolutely safe and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's just water.
Okay, now another one that did very well for you was about washing your pillows. Now, I hope I'm not giving away something here. I didn't know we were supposed to be washing our pillows. How often are we supposed to wash our pillows?
I think about every 2 months, which was probably the last thing you want to hear as well. But
okay. Yeah.
I suppose the head is on it every night, whether it's grease from your hair, general dust build up. The more you think about it, the more you're...
Yeah, but we're changing the pillowcases.
I know, but it seeps in over time. Yeah.
So would they not be lumpy after you wash them?
If you do it wrong, they will be.
Okay,
but there's
on,
a few tricks.
Us. Yeah.
So actually, if you wash it in a pillowcase, that'll help kind of keep the shape. When you take it out of the washing machine, give it a good squeeze. Make sure all that extra moisture comes out. Try to dry it fully, completely. Like, obviously, you don't want a damp pillow when you're going back to bed. Dry it flat if you can. If we get a bit of sunshine, pop it out into the sun, lying out flat, and that's the ideal way to do it. There are a few things you should probably avoid. So if your pillowcase, or if your pillow, sorry, is made of foam, that's really not one for the washing machine. So these are more for your typical pillows, the nice soft ones.
Okay, you're going to set off a spate of pillow washing around the country. Now everyone's going to be like, I didn't realise my pillow was a death trap of bacteria. So some other cleaning hacks. You use dishwasher tablets for a lot of cleaning hacks, do you?
Yeah, they're really handy. The one thing that I actually use them a lot for myself is cleaning the oven. And like, I know there's a range of oven cleaners out there, but I have a glass front to the oven door so you can see the grime building up. So once it gets to an embarrassing level, I'm like, I really should tackle that now. So with the dishwashing tablet, you don't even need to dissolve it or anything. So what I do is with one of the hard tablets, dip it into a bowl of water just to get it a little bit wet, and then just start scrubbing away at the grime. And I suppose they're made to cut through grease and grime in the washing machine anyway. So it cuts through all the grease and grime in the oven, and it's quite quick. It's a little bit abrasive too, so it kind of gets through that build up a little bit easier than, you know, I suppose you'd be scrubbing yourself with a sponge or a cloth or anything. So I find it's not as intensive to actually get it clean that way.
Okay. You have one for burnt pans then, which are the bane of my life. You're using a dryer sheet on them.
Yeah. Again, it kind of softens what's in it. So my tip would be soaking the pan, obviously, if you've got a bit of stubborn grease or grime or whatever it is kind of built up on it. So give it a soak in water with a bit of washing up liquid. And again, washing up liquid is one of those hero products in the kitchen. What can't it do? And if you add a dryer sheet or two and just let it soak for a while, whether it's an hour or 2 hours, even if you want to leave it overnight, we love leaving something to soak in the sink. And then rinse it off, give it a wipe, and it just lifts off so much easier. It's great.
It would make you think, what is in the tumble dryer sheets? But we won't think about
we
it
won't
too
question
much.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, they're not the life hacks aren't all household related. This week's one, I think, was how to spot an AI image.
Yeah, it's something I've kind of noticed creeping in a lot more on social media. So I thought, you know, I've heard of a few people seeing things and thinking, oh, that must be true. Because I think as people, we're kind of more predisposed to trust pictures and videos, even online, because you think, you know, that's a shot. That must be, it can't be faked that badly. And
we're all thinking about Brad Pitt in the hospital bed now and that poor woman.
That's exactly the one that triggered me into saying, you know, I should probably do something now before some Irish woman is caught with Daniel O'Donnell, you know, as her long-term partner, long distance. But no, that poor woman, yeah, she was conned out of a lot of money. And looking at the pictures, you can see a few alarm bells there. So
okay, so what are the alarm bells we're looking for?
So on one hand, it's if things are kind of bad quality, if you're noticing a lot of pixelization, maybe if the face, if it looks like the lighting on the face doesn't match the lighting in the room they're in, that kind of thing. But then on the flip side, it's if it's too perfect. Like I've been seeing a lot of mocked up movie posters, and there's one I keep seeing doing the rounds for the second Wicked movie, which obviously there's no movie poster out for yet. And they look otherworldly, perfect. Like, I don't think their skin has pores, and it's a level beyond your normal airbrushing. So if something is either slightly not perfect or too perfect, I definitely question it. And then one of the other ones that's really easy to see is if there's text in the image, because AI is great for some things, but generating text for a poster or for a background or a newspaper, it's utter gibberish, and it's actually entertaining
okay,
to read it.
Right, yeah.
So if you zoom in and have a read of whatever's in the picture, and if it looks like nonsense, then you can be fairly sure it's AI.
Okay, that's a good one. What life hack are you writing about next week?
We're actually getting a bit glamorous. We're doing a bit on fake tan.
Oh, God, yeah, give us that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't give too much
away. So many questions, like, but give us a few answers anyway.
So it is inspired by Dancing with the Stars, because I think we're all sitting at home in the grey January watching the very tanned stars on the screen and thinking, how are they getting that tan? So I reached out to the people behind it at Bellamianta, so they're the tanning partners this year, and they gave me a lot of lovely tips, which are in tomorrow's paper and online. But generally, I think the rule of thumb is moisturising is your key to that flawless look.
Okay. Before you go, I love the cleaning ones. How do you clean a toaster?
Empty your crumb drawer. I think people forget they have it. And I know I've definitely let it build up a little too much. But it can be a fire hazard. So check your crumb drawer, empty it out. And if it has been a little while, it's probably worth giving it a bit of a wash with some water and washing up liquid. Nothing too intensive. Don't soak your toaster. That doesn't need doing. Don't turn it upside down. No. If you turn it upside down and shake it, you can actually damage it. So you'd be looking for a new toaster if you're doing that, potentially.
I'm glad you said that. Okay. Yeah. So listen, maybe before people wash the pillows, maybe do the toaster a bit first if you're feeling an enthusiasm for a life hack. Do the toaster drawer first, because it probably has been too long with most people.
Yeah.
Any good ideas on cleaning air fryers, which is the new modern kind of version of cleaning the oven?
I know, we're all slaves to the air fryer now. What I do with my own, actually, I pop it into the dishwasher, and so far so good. If you check the manufacturer's instructions, it normally tells you if it's dishwasher safe. And if it is, it's the top drawer, normal cycle, and it knocks out any build-up that's been there for me. Or you can just do the good old traditional sink, washing up, hot water, give it a good clean. But I think the dishwasher is my easy way out for it.
Okay, Denise O'Donoghue from The Examiner, the Hacks Hack, thank you very much for all of that.